Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. The pit-pats through my brain. So darn persistent the day is.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the golden age of American song. I'm Michael Lasser. In the years leading up to World War I, hemlines rose, hair shortened, corsets almost disappeared. In appearance, aspiration, and behavior, America encountered what we soon came to call the new woman. She found her voice in our songs.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
In more ways than one, the new woman of the early 20th century was independent. Perched halfway between the Gibson girl and the flapper, she knew her own mind. She was charting unknown territory, but she did it with flirtatious good humor and surprising toughness. There was more than one way to be independent, and she struggled to find her own way. She could be defiant, even sexually defiant, flaunting her affairs. Or, more likely, she found a more quiet manner. So quiet you'd have to listen carefully to hear what's going on. Joan Morris sings Harry O. Sutton and Gene Lennox's 1905 I Don't Care, and Kerry Mills and Andrew Sterling's 1904 Meet Me in St. Louis.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent of a clever race descendant. My star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy-go-lucky. Men say I am plucky, so jolly and carefree. I don't care. I don't care if I do get the mean and stony stare. If I'm never successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I don't care. Some people say I think I'm it, but I don't care. They say they don't like me a bit, but I don't care. 'Cause my good nature effervescing is one there is no distressing. My spirit there is no oppressing, just 'cause I don't care. Try to treat me fair. There is not can amaze me. Dislike cannot daze me. 'Cause I don't care. When Louis came home to the flat, he hung up his coat and his hat. He gazed all around, but no wifey he found. So he said, where can Flossie be at? A note on the table he spied. He read it just once, then he cried. It ran, Louis dear, it's too slow for me here, so I think I will go for a ride. Meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lights are shining any place but there. We will dance the hoochie-coochie. I will be your tootsie-wootsie if you will meet me in St. Louis, Louis.
and the rest of his things, the picture he missed from the wall. But moving, the janitor said, your auntie's paid 3 months ahead. What good is the flat? Said poor Louis. Read that. And the janitor smiled as he read, meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lights are shining any place but there. We will dance the hoochie coochie. I will be your tootsie wootsie if you will meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the fair.
Joan Morris with I Don't Care and Meet Me in St. Louis. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Golden Age of American Song. I'm Michael Lasser. From the turn of the century forward, respectable women were pushing back against Victorian restraints. They were spending more time outside the home, in restaurants, shops, and theaters. Married matrons and their daughters alike were leading the dance craze, and more young girls were taking jobs and reveling in their newfound independence, especially when it combined with romance. All well and good, but love and marriage remained the goal. Ann Ciola, Katie was a business girl, and Jack Norworth, Kitty the telephone girl.
Pretty Kitty, every day came to the city. He was engaged to answer telephone calls, so when he rang up one day, when she cried hello through the telephone, he heard her new voice say, Kitty, Kitty, isn't it a pity in the city you work so hard with your wife? 7, 8 Gerard. Kitty, isn't it a pity that you're wasting so much time with your lips close to the telephone when they might be close to mine? If any time you should wish anything, Kitty said, don't forget to give me a ring. Tommy said, dear, I needn't mention that all along was my intention. Meet me tonight and I will give you a ring, and I'll make you my wife. Then we can't ring off the telephone, and we'll both ring on for life. Kitty, Kitty, isn't it a pity in the city you work so hard with your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Gerard. Kitty, Kitty, isn't it a pity that you're wasting so much time with your lips close to the telephone when they might be close to mine?
From the 1907 score to Fascinating Flora, Ann Ciola with Jerome Kern and Paul West's Katie Was a Business Girl, and from 1914, Jack Norworth with Kitty the Telephone Girl. If women wanted to be taken seriously, it's hard to understand why going dancing was so important to their winning a place in the world. Dancer Irene Castle taught them to get out from under their corsets, but she also showed them that dancing was good, clean fun, and that keeping their boyfriends out of gin mills was highly desirable. When the band started, women were the first on the floor, even when their husbands protested. Here's a comic treatment of the story as Ian Whitcomb sings My Wife is Dancing Mad.
Everybody's dancing, everybody's prancing to all the ragtime airs, and even streetcar conductors are dancing instructors. You'll find the husbands are paying the fares. Mostly all the trouble with each married couple lies in their feet today. And I know the reason, 'cause it's just the season for every married man you meet to say, I know my wife is dancing mad. She's got the dancing fever bad. She cries, I've got to get thin and lose this big double chin. Then she skips and she dips, ha ha ha. I hope she slips, 'cause every night till break of day, upon a phonograph she'll play. Pulls me out of bed at 4, says, get up and wax my floor. My wife, she's dancing mad. Butchers, grocers, bakers, doctors, lawyers, fakers, all have the same complaint. Each one is watching his wife as she dances through life, and hope for recovery seems to be faint. Every wife he wrestles tries to beat the castles and learn the steps they teach. Husbands must endure 'em, there's no chance to cure 'em. From every married man you'll hear this speech. I know my wife is dancing mad. She's got the dancing fever bad. She cries, I've got to get thin and lose this big double chin. Then she skips and she dips, ha ha ha. I hope she slips, 'cause every night till break of day, upon a ruddy phonograph she'll play. She threatens, if I cannot dance so free, you will have to sleep with me. My wife is dancing mad.
Ian Whitcomb with Arch Gottler, Howard Johnson, and E. Ray Getz's 1914, My Wife is Dancing Mad. During the 1920s, when boys and girls were freer to be alone, and sexual attitudes changed dramatically, even in songs about flappers, marriage remained the goal. It was the same with these young women of an earlier decade, but in this song at least, looking forward had a much more prosaic bent in the way it reflected not hearts and flowers, but the practical realities of the new woman. George Dvorsky and Alex Corey, A Business of Our Own.
We will form a partnership today.
Okay, I'll draw up a contract right away to say love will be the stock we are showing.
If you care for me, there will be no danger of going into bankruptcy.
I will discount everything that you say to me.
You must show some interest every day if we would start in a business of our own. Said it, maybe later on we'll take in the firm a little silent partner.
You must promise not to be violent when that partner isn't so silent.
When we have a business of our own.
I believe this contract is divine.
Then sign your full name upon this dotted line. That's fine. Now you can't do anything stupid.
You just told me there's not a chance if I will let Cupid handle our affairs.
I will be your counselor, but my pay is stiff.
Swear you won't develop a corporation.
We start in a business of our own today. Dear, just as soon as you have shown the way, let me say, I'll obey your word to the letter.
You'd better always bear in mind that you must divide your assets. 50-50.
Here's a warning, though you may mock it, stay out of my petty cash pocket.
When we have a business of our own.
From Jerome Kern and Buddy DeSilva's 1919 score to Zip Goes a Million, George Dvorsky and Alex Corey, A Business of Our Own. A lot of these girls were as new to the city as they were to the idea of work. More of the single young people who moved to cities were men, but a surprisingly large number were women determined to make their way. It wasn't easy for women in the early 20th century to break away from home and stand on their own. Not surprisingly, we had a fair number of cautionary tales. Joan Morris sings, Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl.
Village maid was leaving home, with tears her eyes was wet. Her mother dear was standing near the spot. She says to her, Neuralgia dear, I hope you won't forget that I'm the only mother you have got. The city is a wicked place, as anyone can see, and cruel dangers round your path may hurl. So every week you'd better send your wages back to me, for heaven will protect a working girl. You are going far away, but remember what I say. When you are in the city's giddy whirl, from temptations, crimes, and follies, villains, taxi cabs, and trolleys, oh, heaven will protect a working girl. Her dear old mother's words proved true, for soon the poor girl met a man who on her ruin was intent. He treated her respectful, as those villains always do, and she supposed he was a perfect gent. But she found different when one night she went with him to dine into a table d'hôte so blithe and gay. And he says to her, "After this, we'll have a demi-tasse." Then to him these brave words the girl did say: "Stand back, villain, go your way. Here I will no longer stay. Although you were a marquis or an earl, you may tempt the upper classes with your villainous demi-tasses. But heaven will protect our working girl."
Joan Morris with A. Baldwin Sloan and Edgar Smith's 1910, "Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl." As we approach the 1920s, independent women living in cities began to take on the values we'd previously associated with men. Whenever popular songs looked at something new and controversial, they usually softened the risk through humor. Views of new women were no exception. 15 years later, we'd have called this young woman a gold digger. From 1917, Eddie Cantor sings "A Modern Maiden's Prayer."
Grandma was a girlie, it was a custom. Each night before she put up her hair and curls, to kneel and tell her troubles to the angels. And that was the way with all the good little girls. But nowadays the maids are mercenary, for earthly blessings is all they seem to care. They go down on their knees and ask the angels, please, to hearken to this modern maiden's prayer. Give me a lot of bows and lots of pretty clothes. Give me a Pekingese and feet for all the show. Give me a millionaire to fall in love with me. Take me to Rector's, pay the collectors, one of those purely platonic protectors. Give me a limousine and diamonds like a queen. Give me most anything else you have to spare. Give me the boy that I am after. Let me retain my girlish laughter. That is the 20th century maiden's prayer. And don't you know, last week I went out to a suffragette meeting and I spoke for the suffragettes. I said, give us the chance to vote. Let the women vote. Send us to the polls. Why don't you send us to the polls? And a fresh man in the audience yelled out, yes, send them to the polls, to the North and South Poles. Give me a chance to vote and get some fellows' goats. Give me the right to search my husband's pants and coat. Give me a gown with lines, one must show them at times. If I display much, be optimistic. Give me a man with an eye that's artistic. Give me a bathing suit so folks can say I'm cute. Don't let the water even touch my hair. And if my marriage proves to be phony, give me lots of alimony. That is the 20th century maiden's prayer.
From the Ziegfeld Follies of 1917, Eddie Cantor with James Hanley and Ballard McDonald's The Modern Maiden's Prayer. From ribbon clerks to Broadway stars, new women were standing on their own 2 feet. The independence that came from living alone and holding down a job soon extended to changing attitudes about sex. It was all terribly modern. In 1911, Irving Berlin wrote a song that combined these new attitudes somewhere not far from a Broadway backstage. Max Morath, How Do You Do It, Mabel?
Mabel Brown went to town, all dressed up in a gingham gown, with a ribbon in her hair, in her eyes, a vacant stare. Joined a show, wrote her bow. Mabel wanted to let him know she was earning, so to speak, $20 a week. Her beau came down to New York town to see his Mabel dear. The minute that he saw her flat, he whispered in her ear, "How do you do it, Mabel, on $20 a week? Tell me how you are able on $20 a week. A fancy flat and a diamond bar, 20 hats and a motor car. Go right to it, but how do you do it on $20 a week? Mabel's beau wouldn't go. Hung around for a week or so, till he'd written on a pad everything that Mabel had. When he'd spent every cent, right to Mabel he quickly went for a small financial loan. Then he started for home. Each girl he met down home, you bet, he told them what he saw. Next day a mob was on the job at Mabel's flat to roar. How do you do it, Mabel, on $20 a week? Tell us how you are able on $20 a week. We'd like to be in the chorus too, earn our 20 the same as you. If we knew it, we'd willingly do it on $20, but how do you do it on $20 a week? How you are able on $20 a week. We'd like to be in the chorus too, earn our 20 the same as you. If we knew it, we'd willingly do it on $20, but how do you do it on $20 a week?
Max Morath, How Do You Do It, Mabel? Listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the golden age of American song. I'm Michael Lasser. Mabel's much more modern than her boyfriend from the country, and the song seems to approve of her smarts. But the comic approach in this song also extends to what happens to girls who make it. The results aren't always admirable, but they're often amusing, as more and more often, women resemble men, but in their own particular way. Grace Cameronson's Dolly Dimple made a hit, and Ian and Regina Whitcomb, She Lives Down in Our Alley.
Like my gal, gal. She's not the ordinary kind, the stupid girl you always find. Just your bread and tea, but mine. She's my gal, gal. Gal, gal, you're so original. You never do or say a thing like any other girl.
You're a pal, you're a gal. Well, in fact, you're a pal, plain pal. Her face is quite a hopeless case. Is my gal pal. In fact, her face is not a face. Is my gal pal. But when her mouth opens wide, I can see her little heart inside. It's then I'm just a leisure bride for my gal pal. You're a pal, you're a gal. Well, in fact, you're a pal, just plain pal. I'm sure you've never kissed a gal like my gal pal. And if you have, I'll bet that gal was my gal pal. She's ugly, but can she with me? This is so continuous. I haven't time to look in the mirror. It's my gal pal. Girl, you're so original. You never do or say a thing like any other girl. You come look lovely, cause you are. But you're a pal, you're a gal. Well, it takes your pal.
There's a girl lives near to me, a $1 million mystery. Dressed in calico, just a month ago she joined a Broadway show. She don't know her old friends now. When they pass, she'll never bow. As she goes by with head on high, you'll hear each neighbor cry,
hi. I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Big high heels and silken hose, Paris hats and Paris clothes. But why should she turn up her nose? She lives down in our alley. I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Her French ways are all a bluff. She's as French as Paddy Duff. I wonder where she gets that stuff. She lives down in our alley.
Just to see if she made good, the bunch from our old neighborhood spent a lot of dough, went to see the show about a week ago. When the card announced her name, La Belle Marie, well known to fame, they heard a voice yell, that's a lie, from the gallery high. My!
I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Big high heels and silken hose, Paris hats and Paris clothes. But why should she turn up her nose? She lives down in our alley. I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Her French ways are all a bluff. She's as French as Patty Duff. I wonder where she gets that stuff. She lives down in our alley.
She lives down in our alley.
From 1904, Grace Cameron with Gene Schwartz and William Jerome, since Dolly Dimple made a hit, and Ian and Regina Whitcomb with Charles Bea and Charles McCarran's 1915, She Lives Down in Our Alley. The joke in these songs is partly the young women's lack of talent. They're tough-minded, eager, and determined, but no one ever saw them as great stars. They're chorus girls with a chance, thanks to their splendid architecture, to stand in the spotlight for a while. But this young woman has higher ambitions, made doubly poignant for us because of the year's 1903 and the woman's black. From the score to In Dahomey, Renee Crutcher sings I Wants to Be a Actor Lady. Renee Crutcher, I Wants to Be a Actor Lady. The children of immigrants saw show business as an escape into prosperity, self-expression, sexuality, and freedom. What was doubly startling about this swift change is that it applied to women as well as men, to Sophie Tucker as well as Al Jolson, and for the same reasons. Show business was open to women, just as it was open to Jews and Italians. If they could make it, show business gave women a way to become modern and up-to-date, at least in the little morality plays of popular song. Eddie Morton sings, Mariuch, she's a maker to hoochamacooch, and Dorothy Loudon follows with Sadie Salom, Go Home.
Too bad all the day. I told to my Mariuch, she gone away. When I saw that steamboat leave, I waste much time when I grieve. Steamboat, she no go to Italy. She wait a while. Cause last night I saw my Mariuch at Coney Isle. Don't you tell nobody now what I tell you. What do you think my Mariuch do? Mariuch make the hoochamacooch down at Coney Isle. She make me smile. She go like this, like that, like this. She make it to dance and never move the feet. That's a funny style. Someone yelled like that. Hey Mary, look out, you break your back. When my Mariuch, she make the hoochie macaws. Mary Osh, she make the hit. I think that she take the fit. On the stage I jump a quick, cause that dance it make me sick. I say, Mary Hooch, you break my heart in one big place. Then somebody throw a ripe tomato in my face. Mary Hood, she say, you better make a quick skidoo, or my tone'll break you in two. Mary Hood, she make the whole chimacooch down in Corny Isle. She make me smile. She go like this, like that, like this. She make the dance and never move the feet. That's a funny style. Someone yelled like that. Hey, Mary, look out, you break your back. When my Mary hoots, she make the hoochie macaws.
Sadie Cone left her happy home to become an actress lady. On the stage she soon became the rage as the only real salami baby. When she came to town, her sweetheart Mose brought for her a round of pretty rose. But he got an awful fright when his Sadie came to sight. He stood up and yelled with all his might, don't do that dance, I tell you, Sadie. That's not a business for a lady. Most everybody knows that I'm your loving Mose. I vanish your clothes. You better go and get your dresses. Everyone's got them opera glasses. Such a sad disgrace. Nobody looks in your face. Sadie Salome, go home. From the crowd, Moses yelled out loud, who put in your head such notions? You look sweet, Bajigal, with your feet. Who put in your back such funny motions? As a singer, you was always fine. Sing to me, because the viol is mine. Then the crowd began to roar. Sadie did a new encore. Mose got mad and yelled at her once more. Oh, don't do that dance, I tell you, Sadie. That's not a business for a lady. Most everybody knows I'm your loving Mose. I where is your clothes? You better go and get your dresses. Everyone's got the opera glasses. Oh, it's such a sad disgrace. No one looks in your face. Sadie, allow me go home.
From 1907, Eddie Morton with Harry Von Tilzer and Andrew Sterling's Ma Ryuch, She's a Make It a Hoochie Macooch, and Dorothy Loudon with Irving Berlin and Edgar Leslie's 1910, Sadie Salome, Go Home. There are ironies in all this. First of all, as sexual attitudes began to change, women in show business and often in songs had to use sex to get what they wanted. The songs approached the subject in a gingerly way, through humor. That let them show the rest of us that the endings weren't always happy, even if the recognition came with a dollop of laughter. Anne Morrison sings James Hanley and Ballard MacDonald's Rose of Washington Square.
I'm Rosie, the queen of the models. I used to live up in the Bronx. But I wandered from there down to Washington Square and Bohemian honky-tonks. One day I met Harrison Fisher. Said he, "You're like roses, the stems. I want you to pose for a picture on the cover of Jim Jam Gems." And that's how I first got my start. Now my life is devoted to art. They call me Rose of Washington Square. I'm withering there in basement air. I'm fading. Pose with or without my clothes. They say my Roman nose, it seems to please artistic people both. I've plenty of those with second-hand clothes and nice long hair. I've got those Broadway vampires lashed to the mast. I've got no future, but oh, what a past. I'm Rose of Washington Square. I'm terrible good as a model. The artists are stuck on my charms. Once a fella said he would paint Venus from me. Only Venus ain't got no arms. Rube Goldberg my figure admires. He dresses me up in a veil and uses my shape for the pictures that he draws in the evening mail. He promised sometime when he's free that he'll model a statue of me. They call me Rose of Washington Square. I'm withering in basement air. I'm fading. Pose with or without my clothes. They say my Roman nose, it seems to please artistic people most. I've plenty of those with second-hand clothes and nice long hair. I've got those Broadway vampires lashed to the mast. I've got no future, but oy, what a past. I'm Rose of Washington Square.
Ann Morrison, Rose of Washington Square. No happy ending guaranteed, but in many of these songs, women get to speak out. That could happen even if the woman was black and the song moved perilously close to being another example of a demeaning coon song. But in this case, the song takes a different tack, given the woman's independent strength of character and irreverent humor. She's no one to mess with. Lynn Thigpen sings Chris Smith and Jim Burris' 1914, 50-50.
Mr. Stephen Lee, sly as he can be, is living on the second floor, apartment 23. His wife is slim, neat and trim. It seems as though that here of late she's wise to him. Last Tuesday night he had a date, so Wednesday night she stayed out late. When she got home he had the nerve to start an argument.
"Where have you been at this hour?" said he.
"Well, where were you last night?" said she.
"My club held a meeting, honey, honest and true,"
said she. "My club held a meeting, too.
It's 50-50, it's 50-50, not 60-40, not 70-30. I figured your percentage, honey, it won't do. You've been cheating me, and I've been square with you. I'm getting even, it's even, Steven. I'm wise to your lies, 'cause you've opened up my eyes. If you wanna get along and be a friend of mine, it's gotta be 50-50 all of the time."
No. The real true, not the imitation woman has your hands full with being a woman. Leave all the laws to the men, all the love to the women. Always do.
All eyes on Flo Ziegfeld's latest discovery, Lillian Lorraine.
While Ziegfeld burns the midnight oil with Follies Beauties Lillian Lorraine and Marilyn Miller, wife Anna Held might be left to sing, "Where is my wandering bird tonight?"
Flo Ziegfeld, caught with his suspenders down, and Lillian Lorraine's.
Lynn Thigpen, 50-50. Here's a final irony. When all these outspoken young women were fighting to make their own way in the world, not one of them could vote. The fight would go on for at least another year, and then another. But 1920 was coming, and even if the women in these songs were in no way political, their lives moved the country toward the acceptance of suffrage. They would settle for nothing less. Elizabeth Knight, Winning the Vote.
"I've been down to Madison to see the folks and sights. You'd laugh, I'm sure, to hear them talk about the women's rights. Now it's just as plain as my old hat, as plain as plain can be, that if the women want the vote, they'll get no help from me. Not from Joe, not from Joe, if he knows it, not from Joseph. No, 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 not from Joe, not from me, I tell you, no."
"Say, friend Joseph, why not we should vote as well as you? Are there no problems in this state that need our wisdom too? We must pay our taxes same as you, as citizens be true. And if some wicked thing we do, to jail we're sent by you. Yes, we are same as you, and you know it, don't you, Joseph? Yes, you do, yet you boast you'll not help us win the vote."
"But dear woman, can't you see your home is your true sphere? Just think of going to the polls, perhaps two times a year. You are wasting time you ought to use in sewing and at work. Your home neglected all those hours. Would you such duty shirk? Help from Joe, help from Joe, if he knows it, not from Joseph. No, 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 not from Joe, not from me, I tell you, no."
Joseph, tell us something new. We're tired of that old song. We'll sew the seams and cook the meals. To vote won't take us long. We will help clean house, the one too large for man to clean alone. The state and nation, don't you see, when we the vote have won. Yes, we will, and you'll help, for you'll need our help. Friend Joseph, yes, you will, when we're in. So you'd better help us win.
You're just right, how blind I've been. I ne'er had seen it thus. 'Tis true that taxes you must pay without a word or fuss. You are subject to the laws man-made, and yet no word or note can you sing out where it will count. I'll help you win the vote. Yes, I will.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll together soon be voters.
Yes, we will.
If you'll all vote yes at the polls next fall.
Elizabeth Knight with Mrs. A.B. Smith's 1912 winning the vote. With the end of World War I and winning the right to vote, the new woman gives way to the flapper. We enter a riotous time when women exercise what they earned as well or as badly as men, and America kept changing. Andrew Croucher's the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's Fascinating Rhythm.
Just like a flipper. Each morning I get up with the sun. Start hopping, never stopping. To find at night no work has been done. Oh, but I know that once doesn't matter. But now you're doing wrong. When you start to patter, I'm so unhappy. Won't you take a day off? Decide to run along somewhere far away off and make it snappy. Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit wxxi.org/rhythm.